Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Dan Platt, and Dan is soon to announce, and maybe he'll announce on my show, that he is going to be running for mayor of the city of Albany on the Green Party ticket. So, Dan, what made you decide to, you know, step into the arena and go for something this big?
Well, this is a soft announcement. First reason is I've been an activist for 3 years, and I'm tired of protesting power. I want to have power. In particular, this campaign will be about sharing it, saying that I'm qualified to share power. A few reasons. Yes, the campaign has several purposes. First, build a Green Party. We need to build independent power, our own party, in parallel to building our own media, our own food system. We need to be independent and we need to think local in these times where we should not be depending on the federal government to solve all our problems and protect us.
Well, it seems as though the current mayor, Kathy Sheehan, is trying to get help from Albany, not the federal government. So when you say looking for help, don't you think you would ask more from the state government than the federal government?
Certainly, it's about reorganizing and there is two kinds of things at work here. There's the focusing on our local resources, our local resources, and being more independent, and at the same time branching out and being more regional and more interdependent with our suburbs and the Capital District as a whole, as well as the state when it comes to, say, large universal programs like single payer.
As far as the city of Albany, there's many problems in the city of Albany. Let me break them down for you. Let me break some of them down for you. The trash fee.
Yeah, certainly I was with everyone else decrying it when it was introduced and then when it was passed. You know, I show up to city council meetings and see just how ineffectual the power of regular residents and citizens are when it comes to directing policy on the city level. That's why democratizing city government, to have a city government that actually does not so much react and do things on people's behalf, but distribute power to the people of Albany. At the moment, the way city government works, and when it comes to doing things in Albany, it's like you have to ask for permission from the city first. That's how boss politics works. It's how things have been done in Albany. And it's how people expect things to work. But rather, I would rather distribute city resources, the taxes we take in, to neighborhoods, budget them out so that people can use them, either through the budget or create a public bank and loan money out at extremely low interest, so people can do things. So anyway, you asked about the tax fee. So in terms of trash issues, we need broader strategies for reduction. Recycling isn't enough. We need to reduce. We need more reuse, not just by the city government, but broadly throughout the city. Banning styrofoam helps, but we haven't banned the selling of styrofoam products. You can still go into the supermarkets and buy them. But that's, you know, that's more about personal choice and whatnot. But generally, why don't we have a pay-as-you-throw system now, right? We should have been transitioning to it. We're told that, okay, if we get rid of the tax fee as it is, that's affected my rent or the rent of my neighbors as a renter. That it would take years to implement it. We're like, oh, you need to weigh the trash, and that requires sensors on the trucks, rather than just counting the number of trash barrels. But otherwise, that's something that should have been started years ago. And now, like, we might just start now. But, again, that's if the trash fee is rescinded, which wasn't on the table this year. So that's definitely a discussion. That's something that needs to be, you know, focused on. The other focus is a kind of a side issue is the dump itself. We should have natural gas collection. This is something many municipalities do, collect natural gas that comes off of the dump. It makes it less stinky. And then you actually collect the natural gas that can be fed into the power grid.
How do you feel about the red light camera program?
Very negative. I was with the campaign against red light cameras, every action that activists put together in that group. I kind of came at it in a different way where, well, for all the reasons stated and all the reasons you bring up, they don't actually increase safety. It was just a cash grab. It's privatization of our kind of traffic safety task. And when really, if you want to make driving safer, it's just about slowing people down. So a better policy would be to drop the, and this is something Manhattan's been considering, dropping the speed limit to 25. When I drive around 30, sometimes on most of our urban streets, still feels a little too fast. And slowing people down and by putting up obstacles, barriers, traffic calming, as it's usually called, it can come in many different ways. And part of my policy is not that it's me deciding how it's going to happen, but letting neighborhoods decide how they want to slow traffic down or divert it or control traffic. And this comes into the problems around Buckingham Pond and the congestion and traffic issues in general, bringing in bikes, buses, and benches.
There was a report the other day that the New York Attorney General found that Time Warner has been ripping off its customers. And Jed Crasher proposed legislation to look into the possibility of municipal internet, and the mayor tabled it. How do you feel about municipal internet?
I'm completely for it. I stand with Judd on this issue, particularly, especially putting like a 5-year timetable on it to actually put a goal like 5 years. Do it year by year, stable it out, much like that guest you had on. I listen to that. I pay attention to how it's been done elsewhere and what other cities are doing. They're years ahead of us. We're always behind. And on that note, public internet is just one of those kind of public services, public utilities that we should have, not only for internet, but for our energy.
How do you feel about the landfill?
Well, my background, particularly with my family, is in the movement for the Pine Bush, the reserve, expanding it and protecting it from the expansions of the dump. And other voices, I'll join them in saying, expand the dump, and now we're running out of room. I suppose unless someone wants to pitch having a second dump, but otherwise we need to draw a line and say we need to reduce the amount of trash we make, not only as a city, but challenge neighborhoods and individuals in the same way we should challenge ourselves.
How do you feel about the Palace Theater?
I love the Palace. I want to hear a full debate about how it should stay a public asset. I definitely like the idea of large infrastructure assets like the Palace staying public. And on that note, my thinking about theaters in general, that and this goes into urban development and urban planning, that we should have more theaters. Every neighborhood should have its own theater, rather its own anchor. right? We want to, you know, increase business opportunities and how that works throughout the city so that they're all clustered in downtown. To have a theater around every, you know, in every neighborhood, and then businesses will cluster around that. Then we can have well-lit areas around that theater and have a safe zone. So rather than expanding and having a theater district downtown, we should really be spreading out those resources, those assets, decentralizing them, making them available to all of our citizens.
How do you feel about Rezone Albany?
Generally, good, because I've been following it since its inception, or rather its announcement. Its announcement when Sheehan had the announcement kind of meeting at City Hall. And so I've been really interested as an architect, a community architect. I was interested in learning about zoning reform because zoning is something that needs substantial change. And the only book written about the subject was, in fact, written by the man who was the leader of the consultant team that did Rezone Albany. So it was kind of a treat for me going to all, and I went to most all of the meetings. And it was very participatory. It was pretty much how all city policy should go. Now, there was still extreme lack, not extreme, but there seemed to be an extreme, a lot of real lack of communication with the broader city, because there's still a lot of people who didn't know about it, that it was a surprise. I think when it came to the areas where they had the form-based zoning workshops, where they were getting their own zoning plan for that neighborhood, particularly Central Ave, the Warehouse District, and South End, they got flyered, and they had a big public meeting. But the outer neighborhoods, Center Square, they didn't have public meetings. They didn't have a big charrette where they met with the consultants or designers and got to talk about the vision they have for their neighborhood. That's something every neighborhood should have done. But resources were limited in the context that the rezoning itself was through a state grant. And that's what I mean by, you know, being dependent on state grant rather than reforming our own tax base, how we collect taxes, what we're collecting taxes on, and thinking about different forms of ownership. Because as the city stands, when it comes to the citizenry of Albany, we don't actually own most of the city.
Mm-hmm. The mayor went to the state legislature the other day and asked for a bailout of $12.5 million. And it seems like, you know, the city of Albany is financially distressed. How would you make Albany a financially vibrant city?
Oddly enough, I'd actually follow the old or currently seemingly abandoned agenda of Mayor Sheehan. She wanted a 3-year budgetary cycle. That was a good idea. And it also kind of draws into how, should I be mayor, I would invite and encourage the participation of other smart, talented individuals and groups, such as Frank Commisso, who knows his way around the budget, and he can speak about these issues and cost saving and whatnot. He knows what he's doing. So I would bring him. I would make him like budget czar, you know, anyway. But that's the kind of mayor I would be. It wouldn't just be my plan or my posse. I would bring in the, you know, the other candidates for mayor and beyond.
Albany is a city in which from January to June, there's many people who come into the city. There's the state legislature, there's lobbyists, there's people from all over the state that come into Albany. Do you think Albany is a visitor-friendly city?
It's getting more so, putting up signs and such. my usual thinking about this is that what makes a city or place visitor-friendly is two-sided. One, is it good for the people who live there? Is it a living, breathing, vibrant city? And when it comes to Albany, we need to ask the question, is it friendly to our own citizens? Many times, it is not. It does not feel that way by its structure. A very minute example, city council meetings. There is room for more seating, but they don't put in more seating. It limits how many people can sit down and watch the common council at work. People have to, And making Albany more friendly, both to citizens and visitors, is more benches and more positive public spaces. This costs money, but it's more about, much like the whole world, it's more a matter of allocation and distribution of money. We have the money. It's what we're spending it on. $50 million for our police force, $40 million for our firefighters. Certainly, much of that money is worth it. But how much of it is at the cost of having dead streets, dead places?
Many of the municipal employees in Albany have been working without a contract for a number of years, and many of them voiced their displeasure at the State of the City message a couple of weeks ago. If you were mayor, how would you deal with all of the labor unions that are asking to settle their contracts?
I would try to do as quickly as possible. Something that I thought I keep having is a way of sidelining the public discussion is to say that negotiations need to be private. And yet in the same breath, there's discussion of transparency and openness. I would make these discussions more open and public so there can be a discussion about the trade-offs of having a well-paid, well-protected workforce and city finances that are over the table that can be watched and discussed, and then, of course, allocated in a public participatory manner. Because at the moment, it is all very top-down and it's behind closed doors. No steps have been taken to have otherwise. I find it interesting that in the last time I ran for office, which was more minute, this is definitely a more serious campaign, is that, I encountered Democrats who would be pro-labor. They'd ask me, about labor, like, well, I want the best contract possible. I'm like, well, that's bad for the budget. I'm like, well, what kind of pro-labor person are you? They should be paid living wages. They should have security, both financial or otherwise. The crossing guards should have rain gear. They came into a city council meeting several months ago, in the fall, rather, during the budget time, and they talked about how they didn't have proper coats, and that because of the hours of being a crossing guard, they can't really take on other jobs, and it puts them in a very precarious situation, much like many workers like myself. Precarious is our situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're running for mayor as a Green. You're running on the mm-hmm. Green Party line. How many common council members and how many of the citywide races will there be candidates running on the Green Party?
That's not to be decided yet. But one of the reasons why I'm doing this citywide campaign is to find those people in the future and maybe even this year, depending on their excitement, their time, what they can contribute, and what they're ready for. It's all based on where people are. And finding the leaders of the next election is what this campaign is about, as well as educating people about this perspective of government, participatory, bottom-up, democratic, left to center.
You're running on as a third party candidate. You know, unfortunately, it's called third party. But, you know, Albany is predominantly a Democratic city. People will vote Democratic. How do you envision persuading people that there's other choices?
So I'll take this two ways. First, to point out that you speak of the general electorate, which is quite a minority of Albany citizens, those that are voting age. The number of people who voted in the last mayoral election was 13,000. That is not a majority of Albany. There are plenty of other people who don't vote at all that feel unheard, disenfranchised, that their voices wouldn't matter even if they did vote, especially since, as you say, it's a one-party town. Why vote when there's really no choice at all? Even between when there are two choices, neither seem effective or desirable. To the question of, let's say hypothetically, I'm not going to knock on every door I can, look and ask everyone to register and find new voters. For the current electorate, there is a palpable disgust and impatience with the status quo. And Mayor Sheehan and others represent that. Bernie Sanders won quite well in Albany and in Albany County. And those people, I've been with them more or less as far as the issues go. I'm on their side. And my campaign is their voice as much as any. And I encourage them to do whatever they're doing in parallel with whatever I'm doing.
Now,
so I'll reach out to them, and I have, and I do, and I it's what I'm doing now. And then, of course, there's everyone else.
When do you envision your campaign being in full swing?
Well, our hard announcement is President's Day, and we'll have a fundraiser then, and we'll have more. My goal is to raise, a few thousand, several. I don't intend to spend a lot of money or need a lot of money, because just as how I'll be mayor, I don't intend to waste. I reuse, I recycle, I reduce what I need. And yeah, and I'll point out that none of the money that I'm going to seek is going to come from corporations, large groups, and large interests. We all have our own interests, but more so, we should work to act politically as a group based on identity or class.
So if somebody who is listening to this would like to contribute to your campaign or volunteer for your campaign or just to reach out to you and talk to you, how could they reach you, Dan?
So at the moment, just my direct contact, dplatt, P-L-A-A-T, at protonmail.com. You can also email edmoves518@gmail.com. There's also my number, 545-4791.
And that's a 518 area code?
Yes. Though I hear that for new numbers, there'll be an 848 area code.
Okay. Now, do you have a Facebook page?
Oh, yes. And another number to call is 518-505-8188. And, yes, I am on Facebook. It is simply Dan Platt for Mayor.
Okay. And they could like that page.
Oh, 5%.
Okay, Dan. Okay, Dan, so this will be an ongoing conversation, and good luck, and we'll talk soon. Thank you for being on the show, Dan. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, and if you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany and share your thoughts. Thanks, Dan. Good night, and good night, everybody. Talk to you soon.